I can't go out. I'm sick.
Boo, you whore.
Hello, everybody. Hope you're having a great day as you're listening to this. And welcome back to another episode of Outgoing Without Going Out.
I'm Lexi.
And I'm Gabby, and this is not our intro anymore, but just in case you forgot who we are. Like old time's sake.
Yeah. Our last podcast, I was going to say, did not age well. It did age well, but we have a lot of updates from the things that we talked about.
Well, it aged. I don't know if well is the word, but it did age, and there are answers.
There are answers, and they're not good
and
answers.
And it's not The Masked Singer, unfortunately.
But then you guys also reached out with some hometown true crime, like, pop culture update stories to look into. So we're going to talk about those as well. But we have some life updates, so why don't we hop into that? And you can take it away,
You go
Gibby.
First.
Oh, I'll go first.
No,
okay.
You go first, because, yeah.
I am happily recording from my couch back at home, and I've never been more grateful for my home, my pets, Sean, my stove. I haven't cooked anything yet, but I can't wait to do that because hotel living
something
was fun
other than
for
a microwave.
It was fun for one day. Now I'm over it, so I'm back home. My drive was very long and rainy. It's just raining nonstop here, And it's just a straight drive. You do not get off the highway once you're on it for like 4 hours. So, did the drive. I did get Firehouse subs on my way, and I got a large sub, thinking I would like munch on it as I drove. I ate the whole thing in one sitting. So.
Oh, I was going to say there's no way, but I'm mistaken. Okay.
Yep. Ate the entire large Firehouse sub. So I had a bellyache for most of my drive, but it was so good. And then I got home and there were a giant mound of packages. It felt like Christmas. I literally got to open like 30 boxes, things I ordered, some PR, some sponsored stuff. So very excited. I also have some exciting collabs that reached out that I'm super pumped about. So look, you know, I was on the decline of social media and I was like, well, I'm losing followers. I haven't had any brand collaborations in a while. I'm in a rut. But, you know, we're on the steady up, hopefully. Not in everything, but we're getting there. So week two in Gainesville was much more laid back than week one. I will say the call was way less busy.
Did you have any?
We had one today, but I had to leave. So it was like last night into today. But no, I didn't have to go in at all after hours this whole week, which was really nice. And then I didn't have to study. So it was just a chill week. I am still watching Traitors season two. Sean and
How far are you now?
Episode. I just got to the episode where they can, like, this isn't giving anything away, but they can, like, save people by lighting the torch.
Got it.
I think I'm on episode 8.
You're getting there.
And then Sean and I last night on FaceTime when I was still at the hotel watched the movie Alone on Netflix. It was like in the top 10 movies. It was a little spooky. Not like, it was a thriller for sure. Basically, this girl's driving with like a little U-Haul, like by herself moving, and this guy like follows her and kidnaps her and she has to get away.
Terrifying.
And it's like that
worst nightmare,
but it was a good movie. It was decent. And then currently reading I'm like 8% of the way through or something, The Coworker by Frieda McFadden. Love Frieda. Love her books. And this one, I've always seen it and I just haven't read it. So I was like, you know what? Let's read a Frieda book. It's been a while. And then tonight, I think the plan. So I wasn't planning on Sean being home. I thought he was going to be at work. So I was like, okay, tonight we'll podcast. And then I was like, I'll do my nails. I'll just relax. But then Sean came home. So I think the plan is we're going to have a nacho night. We're going to watch a movie, just like hang in. I really
am
like.
So by nacho night. Are you doing the thing where you cover, like, your table in aluminum foil and just put nachos on the table and put everything on top?
Probably not that. Maybe a sheet pan. I don't think we need a full table size worth of nachos.
But it could be fun.
A sheet pan in the oven. I think we're going to do steak and cheese. We're going to try and make homemade queso. We'll see. And play some video games, watch some TV, just hang. I'm craving the hot tub because my body hurts so bad, but with this pouring rain, it's just not really, like, practical. Our pool is, like, so full. That's how much it's raining. But at least I don't have to go water the lime and the lemon trees. It's watering itself. But that's pretty much it. So chill night tonight. I will say, I'm pretty sure when I checked the weather that Sunday, it was going to be like absolutely gorgeous. UV of 9, partly cloudy. Oh, okay. Well, the UV went down to a 7 and it's now very cloudy. Well, that's unfortunate, but at least it's not going to rain. It's supposed to rain tomorrow, but then it's not going to rain Sunday, so.
Yeah, this rain kind of came out of nowhere. I feel like we haven't had a storm actually in a really long time. And for most people in Miami, it's like worst case scenario because it's Miami Music Week this week.
Is
and
it?
Ultras this weekend. And that's like, it's all outside.
Ugh,
yep.
Sucks.
Everyone waits all year for this. It's like the big music festival Miami has. And it's gross. It's pouring. We have flood watches. Miami floods anytime it rains. So it's probably disgusting down there.
Ooh,
I don't go.
This is Saturday when you're here. Should we go to the beach or do a pool day?
I mean, yeah, I figured that's what we'd probably do during the day.
Okay, amazing. It's supposed to be really nice, so let's hope it stays. All right, what's your week been like?
It just feels good to consistently be home because I feel like it's the first, like, kind of 2 weeks in a row where I'm home in over, like, 2 months, if not, honestly, like, all of competition season because everything is so go, go, go. So it feels nice to be home, be able to get back into routine, been to the gym every now and then, which is very nice. I've actually really enjoyed it. However, I'm ready for spring breaks to be over so I can, like, go out in Miami and do stuff again because it is just insanely packed. So I've avoided all, basically anything besides home in the gym and, like, cheer gym, pool. Like, I haven't left. Like, I filled up my gas tank, I think, like, 2 weeks ago, and I think I'm still at full because I've literally just driven to the gym and back home, and, like, that's it lately. So I'm ready to, like, get out and do stuff again and just... Yeah, I don't know. Go to the beach or just go to restaurants. I'm watching Real Housewives of Miami right now. Trying to get into it. I don't like it as much as Salt Lake City.
I know.
But it's a good background show, and I like that it is Miami. Because, like, well, very few things are familiar because they live in a very different Miami.
I told you.
I told you
it's a completely different life.
Yeah, very different. They live on Sar Island, which I've always wanted to, like, splurge and rent an Airbnb for one night with, like, a bunch of people and split it, which I've clearly never done ever. But... With Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, though, I did finish it. Without giving, like, too many spoilers, it is just, like, the way it ended is insane to me. And, I mean, they kind of alluded to it in the reunion, but someone at production definitely had to have known about Monica.
I think
and what
so,
she
too.
Was involved in. Because
did you
if
expect
not, she kind
that?
Of...
Because that's
no,
not...
and I remember hearing about it on, like, I think it was the Vile Files, but I didn't remember which housewife he was talking about. So I completely forgot. Like, that wasn't even in the forefront of my mind.
I know.
And then when that happened, I was like, that's what... And I heard the receipts, proof, timelines. Like, I've heard that audio on TikTok over and over and over. But, like, I never really knew exactly what happened. So, obviously, all of that clicked for me in that moment. But I think it's also crazy because, like, relating that to cheerleading, because cheerleading has so many Anon accounts, like, crazy. Like, imagine someone running a big Anon account, like, bashing a team. Like, there's one on TikTok specifically that just hates Top Gun, bashes them like crazy, but, like, imagine them keeping their identity a secret and, like,
and
being on the
friend.
Top Gun team
or
and, like,
that
being,
yeah.
Yeah, right, like, that's literally the equivalent of it, and that would be insane.
Or it's like,
I just cannot believe, like, real life humans
being
at that
friends
level.
With Gossip Girl, like, finding out your friends
true.
With Gossip Girl,
yeah, literally, like, real life Gossip Girl. But, like, the production had to have known. That had to have been the only reason she was there, to be honest, because she was way too normal. She didn't fit in with that lifestyle. Like, yeah, she had, like, trauma and drama about her, but it didn't really fit in.
Isn't her mom wild?
Wild. Wild. That's, yeah. I think the mom thought she was going to be
on
a housewife
the show
more than Monica. Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, Justin came home and almost, like, immediately has just been run down and sick, which he never gets sick. I feel like I am, not always, but, like, I get sick for, I would say, in the span of the 3 years we've been together, I've gotten sick, I mean, even just, like, a cold or whatever, like, at least 10 times. And I think this might be, like, maybe the second that he's ever gotten sick. So, he's been run down pretty bad. He had a request of chicken tortilla soup yesterday, and I will never turn that down. So, I went to Publix. Luckily, all the canned soups were buy one, get one free, because... Basically, the way I use the Max and Irma's recipe, and everything is like, it's like canned, a bunch of different cans of soup mixed together, and then, like, tomatoes, onion, cilantro, and chicken, basically. So it was a nice, cheap soup date. We made a ton. And I thought we were going to have it like all weekend. And then we somehow finished it in three meals between the two of us. So we're out of soup now. But it was so good. And then, yeah, I don't know. I have practice this weekend, but only 10 to 2. So our nights are free. We'll probably try to like go out to dinner and just get out of the house and do something just because we're finally home and can. But I don't know what else the plans are. Other than that, okay, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about. Vanderpump Rules and The Valley. Did you watch both, neither, one or the other?
I haven't yet, but I plan. That's what I was going to do tonight. But now that Sean's home, I probably won't. But I'll watch it at some point soon. I'm going to watch both. Okay.
Well, then we'll talk about that tomorrow. Or not. Next week.
Tomorrow.
We'll talk about that next week. Supposedly, did you see that Andy went on somewhere, Instagram Live, and was like, I watched the last 7 episodes of Vanderpump. They get so good. Like, I'm not just saying this. I don't get paid to say this. I'm not on production at all. Like, I have no attachment to them.
He's a producer of all the Housewives. Is he not a producer of Vanderpump?
I don't think so. I think he just does the reunions. But he's okay. Like, it's so good. And then they already filmed the reunion. Which,
really?
I'm like, yeah. Like, I guess they all binge the last episodes and then film the reunion. I don't know why. That seems odd to me. And from what I've heard, the reunion is, like, pretty smooth sailing the whole time. And then...
I did hear that Lala goes off on Ariana at the end.
Or vice versa. I heard Ariana technically goes off on Lala. But it's, like, friendship ending kind of fight. So, we'll see. I mean, we still have 7 weeks. They weren't that close
before Scandoval, honestly. Right.
We still have, like, 7 weeks of episodes. So, then a long time before the reunion. Which, yeah, well, I don't know why they filmed it so early.
Did you watch The Valley?
Yes.
Can you just tell me if it's good?
I mean, I think it will be good. I feel like it gives what old Vanderpump used to give more than what Vanderpump's giving right now, kind of.
Oh, interesting. Okay. How just are the new people? Like,
of some I like, some I'm like, could have done without you.
Okay. We'll discuss.
But I also barely know them yet.
I'll watch it and we will debrief next week then.
Yeah.
All right, great. What is your favorite of the week?
Amazon Home Decor. Actually, it's because, honestly, yeah. So the diffuser you got me for Christmas has been on our kitchen island, and it just ran out. So I was like, okay, what else can I put here? I like something in the back that's, like, tall. So I literally just Amazon searched, like, beige and white home decor. I got this intertwined vase. Well, you're on my phone, and my phone's plugged in, and I really can't. I'm going to send you a link right now so you can see it. Okay. It's, like, it was, one, price-wise, so good. I'm pulling it up so I know the exact price so I don't get it wrong. But it was, I want to say, like, $30? And, like, really, 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 $32. To be honest, like, it looks like something you would see on, like, CB2. Like, something really expensive. $30 on Amazon. And I literally, like, I didn't have to search hard for it. I literally said beige and white home decor. And it came up. And I love it. It looks so good. I sent it to you. So I'm waiting for your reaction.
I haven't gotten it yet. Okay, it just came through. Interesting.
Like, they're two different vases, but they're intertwined, and they look elegant and, like, very classy, and quality-wise is so good.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Looks nice.
And then I got new kitchen towels, and I don't know. I'm trying to do little things because I don't decorate for any season other than, like, fall and Christmas. And I just hate the apartment. So I'm like, any little thing that I could see myself taking to the house in the future, so it's not like something just for the time being, that can spice up the apartment a little bit. And Amazon just came through.
Amazing.
How about you?
My favorite is the audiobook that I'm currently listening to. And let me say, I feel bad for the audiobooks that I've read because I feel like I've rated them so low because of the readers, or they're just audiobooks. Like, I think had I read the first couple audiobooks, I probably would have rated them a little bit higher. Maybe I'm also just choosing books. I tend to choose a book for audiobook for one that, like, I'm not, like, 100% want to read soon. So it's, like, a book on my to read list, but not one that's, like, near the top, you know?
At the top?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I kind of pick middle of the road books anyways. But the one I'm reading right now is an Ellen Hildebrand book, which I haven't read her in so long, and she was, like, my favorite author for so long. And I'm reading right now. It's called The Five-Star Weekend, and it's so good. It's so good. And I'm listening to it, and it's a normal reader, and I like the voice. I'm,
with, like, hooked. Audiobooks, is it one reader the whole time, and do they do different voices for characters? How does that
depends
work?
So most of them, yes, and the one I'm reading right now, it's very easy to tell who's who with her voice, but it's also like not cringy, like she does a very good job, but also it's like mainly female characters, so it's not that difficult. I read a book where it had male reading male and female reading female, but it was just like a little cringe.
What was Fourth Wing and Iron Flame?
All female, but she read it with different voices. And she did okay, but also I like read those first, so it wasn't like that was my first time hearing it, if that makes sense. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. But Five Star Weekend, my favorite Ellen Hildebrand book is The Perfect Couple, but she also has the Winter in Paradise trilogy, which you haven't read those. So if you want like three books that are like quicker, Mom read them. They're very good. She has like a mystery aspect to it, but they're also just like really good books. So I highly recommend her as an author in general. But The Five Star Weekend, I think it's a new book because it's very current with like the stuff they talk about. But it's set on, almost all of her books are set on Nantucket. It's just a really nice read. So I'm enjoying that.
Very nice. Love that for you. I still haven't gotten to a new book, so yeah, I need to.
Why don't we hop into our updates?
Well, unfortunately, both of them are pretty much like worst case scenario, which is really sad.
Yeah. So Kate Middleton announced that she has cancer. However, the cancer was removed, but she's still doing preventative chemotherapy for the cancer. Do we know,
does this prove that whoever was in the video was a fake?
I don't know the answer to that.
Has anyone debunked that?
I don't know if it's actually her or not.
How dare whoever runs the social media of the royal family to make her admit to the Photoshop fail when this is what she's going through? Like, why wouldn't someone just post an old picture for Mother's Day and be like, oh, okay, like, time's going by so fast. Miss when these little chickens were just babies. Like, why did we try to Photoshop a new picture?
But what did they Photoshop?
Very clearly, like, I think the whole picture. I think the whole picture was AI. I think someone put in, like, what the kids' faces look like, put, like, a picture of Kate Middleton.
Yikes. They're so rich.
They took the picture. That's what
I'm
saying.
Why is it not done, like well?
Exactly. That I don't agree with.
Okay, weird.
But, yes,
good news is,
like,
I think they got the cancer out, but now she's doing chemotherapy because it was cancerous. So, again, they could have done this better.
Yeah, the way they handled it.
The video was weird.
William really only visited her once in the hospital, like,
and Sean thinks it's weird he wasn't in the video with her.
And the last thing he put out, like, announcement wise only had his whatever it's called, like, little stamp thing at the top, not their family one. It was very clearly just a Prince William stamp.
That's weird,
right? Like, things are still odd.
Sean said the video seemed like AI. He's like, that doesn't even seem like it's her because it's so scripted. But
it was.
It is weird. It was a weird way to go about it, in my opinion.
But I also feel like the royal family, like, they're probably not, like, up on the times of social media, like, with handling stuff like this. Are they?
I don't know. I would hope someone is on their team. Like,
I mean, true. Yeah.
I don't know. But it's super sad. I hope everything ends up being okay. The whole thing is just still so weird to me, though.
Very.
Because all you had to put out was, I'm going through a health crisis. Not a crisis, but you could say, like, I have health problems
but,
right now. I had surgery.
Update,
we'll come,
like,
back.
Right. Literally an update. A text,
give us some time.
Even
we're at
home. A note. Type in your notes. Put a screenshot on Instagram. Like, yeah, the surgery went well. I'm still recovering.
Right.
Thank you for everyone for the, like, literally
right.
anything.
Right. I'm not saying she had to announce to the world she had cancer right away,
no.
But I'm just saying, like, yeah, could have saved a lot of speculation. Did you see Blake Lively put up, like, a story that was like, I apologize for the jokes I made about, like, Photoshop fail in today's world. Like, this is awful news. Like, I'm so sorry. And then she was like, I know nobody cares about me, but just putting that out there or something.
I mean, because it is, like, it's sad that that is what was happening, but it's also like they could have stopped all of that very easily from happening.
I agree.
And then the Riley Strain case. So have you, like, seen all the updates?
Not all of them, no.
because it has been on my TikTok. Like, I feel like every update I've been getting.
Debrief us, including me.
So, after I was saying that, I was like, how is there no CCTV footage? Like, what do you mean there's no security footage of these places? Mm-hmm. There was, and they pieced a lot together. Mm. So, from what I've seen, what we think happens, I don't know if there's proof of this. I'm sure someone could, I mean, I don't know if they found his phone with the, well, anyway, so, like, the final update is, unfortunately, his body was found in the river, which is kind of, like, where they were searching, what they, assumed, or, like, what things pointed to, but obviously no one was hoping that was the case.
But I saw that it said no foul play, so they don't think somebody murdered him, right?
No. So, there was, the first security footage I saw, he definitely looks like he was drugged. Like, he was not just drunk. He's, like, running and just stumbles, like, head hits a pole, like, falls to the ground, sits there for a second, gets back up and keeps walking. And then it's like they, every like so often there's new security footage of him walking by. Like many people have passed him. But after that one, he just was kind of walking fine. A few witnesses have come out saying like they tried to talk to him or ask him if he needed help. He responded back just fine, like said he didn't need help. But sometimes they heard someone on the phone with him. Like I'm assuming one of the friends that didn't want to walk home with him was trying to like guide him on the phone. However, what TikTok has thought happened is, so the hotel that him and his fraternity brothers were staying at is called, it's like the Tempo by Hilton, but all the security footage of him walking by the river is the complete opposite way of that hotel,
right? However,
are in the area and you go to type in Tempo, there's another building called Your Tempo, which is something to do with like music industry recording studio. And it's the opposite way. It's the way he was walking, and it's down by the river. And that is what comes up when you, like, people have tried it in the area. Like, they type Tempo in their apps, and it's the other building that comes up before the Hilton Tempo would come up. So people think he put walking directions into the wrong building, and that's where he was walking to. And had someone, one of his friends, just, like, helped him or, like, made sure he had the right directions, he would have been walking the complete opposite directions, not near the river at all, and like to his hotel, and potentially could have made it safe.
But my question is if he was as drugged or drunk or high or whatever he was, as you say he is, he still was able to put that into his GPS and follow it though? Like, I thought because of his,
well, I'm sure he might have done that before he left. Like,
I mean, if what you're saying is true with the footage you saw of his current state at that time, I wouldn't even be surprised if he was just, like, walking the wrong way because that's what he was... You know what I mean? Like, that isn't weird to me.
Well, but that was the only security footage where he really looked like that. Just that footage looked very unwell. But then after that, he was just walking like normal. There was actually a police body cam footage released because a cop got called for a robbery of a car, I think, because that's what the video was showing him looking in a car. And in the background, you literally see Riley walk by and they have a brief conversation.
And he's talking and everything?
And he's just like, yeah. I mean, like, not much is said, but he's like, oh, how are you doing? I'm doing good. Like, oh, just...
What?
A brief conversation. So that came out. But then he just
fell in the water?
And then... Well, so then I mean, the way he fell in the first video, like, I could have probably guessed that was going to happen. He looked very unwell. But then after that, he was fine. I don't know. But then the police kind of, not, like, stopped searching, but from what I saw, like, weren't persistent in looking in the river, and two TikTokers or like influencers went live and just were searching down by the river and found his credit card. Yeah.
Oh my god.
And so then that kind of like re-upped the search in the river. But then because of that, they were like, okay, maybe there is foul play, like maybe he was robbed, maybe we should turn our investigation away from the river and maybe he is somewhere or with someone, or I don't know, something's going on. And then there was really no update after that. I mean, all I know, well, his phone and his watch unpinged at the same time, which to me almost immediately, I was like, okay, that seems
like... It died.
Well, I guess it could have been anything because I feel like as soon as the phone is disconnected, whether it's water, whether it's turned off, the watch, if you don't have LTE, the watch is going to not ping anymore.
That was my thought. Either the phone was broken or it died.
But unfortunately, they did find his body in the river, but no foul play, so... I'm assuming, yeah, he just tripped. I don't know what the, like, geographic around the river looks like.
Yeah.
But That's just terrible. Horrible. Like, why did no one leave the bar with him?
If you are listening and you are in college, or even if you just have friends, the buddy system in general,
all the time,
don't let anyone ever leave anything alone.
Especially when they're at the state where they're getting kicked out for being too drunk.
Yeah.
There also should maybe be another, like, maybe just put them in timeout or something. Like, maybe let's not kick them out of the bar if they're too drunk.
Timeout.
Or, like, they should force a friend. Like, they should honestly kick the whole friend group out or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
To avoid a situation like this.
I always say there should be at least one sober person if you're going to go out like this. Like, to just make sure everything's okay.
For sure. But it's sad. Ugh. Like, literally worst case scenario.
Yeah. Well, not all of the stories. I had Gabby do a deep dive into the stories that you guys sent in through DM. And then I have two. One is kind of funny. The other one is not funny, but just, like, kind of wild. So,
yeah, both of mine. We'll just
go
sad.
Every other. Oh, geez. Okay. But it's hometown cases that you guys sent in. So we figured that's what we would do today. I guess should I start with my funny one then, or end with my funny one?
Maybe end with the funny one so people can leave this not feeling.
Okay. So then you go first for one of them. I'll read and then, yeah.
This is the story of Elijah Vu, who is a 3-year-old that was last seen in February and is missing in Wisconsin. So the article, I'll like briefly go through all the things that I've seen. I don't want to like word for word read the article, but the week-long search for Wisconsin 3-year-old Elijah Vu continues as court documents reveal shocking details. The toddler's mother faces criminal charges. Local and federal agencies across the U.S. join forces. So Elijah went missing from a home in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, on the morning of February 20th. Elijah's mother at the time, Katerina, and her boyfriend Jesse have been charged with felony child neglect. So they only refer to him as the mom's boyfriend. So, I mean, I'm assuming it's definitely not the child's father.
Mm-hmm.
But the mother sent the kid, the 3-year-old boy, to stay with Vang in Two Rivers for disciplinary purposes, because Vang is more of like the enforcer of the rules. And I guess, according to the mom, Elijah has just been acting out and not been, like, I guess she can't properly discipline the kid. So she had to send him completely away to the boyfriend. A criminal complaint obtained by the reporter and part of the USA Today network has shed light as the way Elijah was treated while staying with Vang. When questioned, Vang told police he ordered Elijah to stand next to his bed and pray before the toddler's disappearance. According to the complaint, when Vang woke up from his sleep 3 hours later, he said Elijah was gone, so he called 911.
It's him.
Immediately. There's no other scenario I see where it's not him. So the mom dropped Elijah off at Vang's house February 12th, and he was supposed to be returned to his mother's home in Wisconsin February 23rd. First of all, that's like 9 days for someone that's not the child's father, and it doesn't seem like the relationship is that great. I don't know, like,
it's her current boyfriend?
Yes.
So they don't live together, and they also didn't see each other that whole time?
That's how it seems.
This whole thing is very fishy. Exactly.
So Vang told Two Rivers police on the morning that Elijah disappeared that he saw the toddler sleeping on the sofa in the living room. Vang then woke Elijah up, made him cereal to eat, but did not change the boy's diaper. So another thing I saw on a TikTok, like, explaining all of this is that the way that Vang disciplines the kid is if he overfills his diaper, which, let me know how this is the 3-year-old's fault. Like, the 3-year-old is not supposed to change his own diaper. But if he overfills it, Vang makes the child take a ice-cold shower, and the kid is, like, terrified of cold water. So it's just, like, ultimate punishment for him.
What?
During the mother's interview, she told officers that Elijah was sent to Vang's home to learn how to be a man. He is 3. Like, how about you learn how to be a mother? The fact that anyone in this entire world can just have children is kind of insane.
Isn't it wild? I know. It's horrible.
It's so sad. But the community joined the federal and local agencies in searching for Elijah. Unfortunately, there's no update currently on that. The mother did go into court and plead not guilty, of course. And I believe the boyfriend is still being held. I don't think there's been any sort of trial with that, but there is a $40,000 reward up if anyone knows anything. Recently, there was his baby blanket found. Where does it say this exact?
This kind of reminds me of the Casey Anthony case.
Yeah. So earlier this week, police found a baby blanket belonging to Elijah 4 miles from his last known location. And that's honestly like been the only update. I literally just already knowing just the way that the boyfriend treated the child, I don't see any other scenario than he did this.
I mean, he's three. He didn't get up and wander away.
Or I'm hoping. Well, I'm hoping somehow he did. I don't see that being. I know. I don't see that being the case whatsoever, because I'm pretty sure they also said somewhere that once the boyfriend woke up, all the doors were still locked right in the house.
No, he's lying. It's just whether or not the mom knows.
And it would like, and the baby blanket being 4 miles away. He didn't walk 4 miles. Did this guy drive 4 miles? Right, exactly. Did he walk 4 miles just to drop the baby blanket to give them like a trail to go on, kind of thing? But terrible. Like, you're sending your 3-year-old away to this man that clearly treats him horrible to learn how to be a man.
At three.
Also, another thing I saw that came out today. There was a lot of updates today. The Jody and Ruby Frankie case. The investigations or something were just put out. And, like, ring footage and police body cam footage. And that is also, like, those poor children. It showed the ring body cam footage of the kid running away to, like, the neighbor's house. And it looks like he literally hasn't eaten or, like, in...
Oh my gosh. Months. What's going on? Is she in jail right now?
Terrible. I don't think there's been any sort of like trial yet. So, I mean, let me look up if there's been any update. I mean, I feel like they
arrested her. I mean, they did.
What's her name? Jody?
I don't know. I feel like the last thing I saw was like she was arrested, but I don't think she was being held at that time.
Have they been released, though? I feel like they haven't.
I don't think so. I haven't heard. I don't know.
Okay, go to your... I mean, yeah, unfortunately, that one has no updates. I'm hoping somehow he got away and is safe with someone. I don't, unfortunately, see that happening. But, like, a 3-year-old? Are you kidding me?
All right, so my first one is... This is the headline. California pastor allegedly hired hitmen to kill his daughter's boyfriend because he did not approve of him.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so on Saturday, October 21st, 2023, Riverside Police Department officers responded to a local hospital after a patient suffered gunshot wounds from an alleged shooting that occurred around 7 p.m. The victim told the police he had been hit several times in a drive-by shooting and quickly transported himself to the hospital for treatment, and he survived. Investigators determined the shooting occurred on these streets. Police allege 47-year-old Samuel Pasillas, a pastor in Victorville, met with and paid hitmen nearly $40,000 to shoot the victim who had been dating his daughter. According to officers, he provided the contract killers with the victim's location and other information. The hitmen reportedly surveilled the victim for weeks before shooting him, and then they did not succeed. As part of the investigation, detectives conducted searches in homes. On March 13th, they arrested him and another man, 55-year-old Juan Cabreros, and booked them into the detention center. Patias faces charges of solicitation for murder, conspiracy to commit murder, attempted murder, and assault with a deadly weapon. Cabreros has been charged with conspiracy to commit murder, attempted murder, and assault with a deadly weapon. They remain held on a $1 million bail. Let me just go on a rant, like a little rant real quick. Someone not succeeding in murder is not a reason for a lesser sentence. Just because the person survived.
Right. Just because they're bad at it.
It's so infuriating because guess what? These people get out and then they do it again and they do succeed. Like, it drives me insane. But imagine being so against your daughter's boyfriend that you literally pay $40,000 for hitmen. Which, by the way, are there actual hitmen these days still? Like, that exists?
Right,
contract killers?
And where do you find them? And how are you not stopped when searching for these men?
It's got to just be word of mouth. Like, someone who knows someone. Like, it's not like they're on Craigslist anymore, right? Like, you can't do that anymore.
And you said he's a pastor?
Yes. $40,000 to kill a daughter's boyfriend. How about you just talk to the daughter and say, I don't really like this guy. Don't date him. And if not, yeah. guess what? It's her choice.
What?
I would love to know what the daughter yeah. thinks.
Well, I guarantee the daughter would much rather you say, I don't like your boyfriend than doing all of that, because now you probably have no relationship with your daughter. At least you could have had a relationship with your daughter and tried to separate her from the boyfriend, or at least just not have a relationship with the boyfriend. Now you probably got nothing.
Yeah, that's absolutely wild to me. All right, did you find anything?
Okay, well, yeah. So 1 month after former YouTuber, influencer Ruby and Frankie were sentenced to prison. Okay, so they were. For child abuse charges, evidence released Friday depicts the severity of the abuse, which I just read that whenever they had an open wound, they would pour cayenne pepper into the wounds of her own children.
That's horrible.
This is what she said on a call. Adults have a really hard time understanding that children can be full of evil and what that takes to fight it. So I don't know any other adults who are going to see the truth.
What?
Like, they're not, they have no remorse for what they did. Thank God that one kid got away. And those neighbors were, they released like that footage too of the conversations. And they're, oh, thank God that they, oh my God. What? The wrists and ankles of these kids completely like
yes, duct taped. I did know like, that. I remember that from when the kid escaped.
Well, all of these pictures and all the video, like everything is out. Terrible. Okay, yeah. So they are, thank God, they're sentenced. But I don't know. If we know, oh my God, this is so sad.
Are you looking at photos? Is that what you're doing?
It literally looks like these children haven't eaten, honestly, in like years.
Oh my.
This is honestly worse than I even expected. And obviously I would have hoped any of this was like this, but.
Yeah, worse than you'd think for someone who literally filmed their life.
And like, she literally, right, like she kind of documented a lot of this. And how did no one, I remember like years ago hearing that she was kind of crazy, and like people were clipping things and like making montages on TikTok of like how crazy she is. Like, how did no one stop that beforehand? Like, why does it take it getting to this extreme for something to be done? Because
I think people are like, there's no way that it's like actually that bad, you know, like they see things and they're like, that's weird, but I don't know, I'm just playing devil's advocate. Oh, that's horrible. Okay, what's your second hometown story that was DM'd to us?
So the second one is the Thomas Brown case, and he disappeared in 2020. Well, no, this article's in 2021, and he disappeared 5 years before that. So it's like an older case in Canadian, Texas.
What?
It's like the town is Canadian, but it's in Texas.
Oh. I was like, wait a minute, those two things are nowhere near. I know I cannot label a U.S. map fully, but I know that Texas and Canada are not next to each other.
So this story is high school senior Thomas Brown was on the state champion Canadian Wildcat football team, class president, and in drama. The real drama began in the rural town the night before Thanksgiving in 2016 when he disappeared. His body was found 2 years later, not far from the town, in a remote wildlife area near Lake Marvin. The story of what happened to him reads like a choose-your-own-ending book, and all the outcomes end in tragedy. There's always been some controversy about whether Thomas's death was a suicide, a murder, or an accident. There's still no agreement on these three possibilities. The Canadian community thought there would be some definitive answers when the private investigator of the family decided to open the book on Thomas's investigation in a four-hour-long town hall. Before anyone starts this fact versus theory crap, these are facts, said Philip Klein, the private investigator. These are backed up by records, the police records. The attorney general released 249 pages of evidence the night before the town hall stating his death is questionable with no sufficient evidence to determine exactly how he died. Including in the investigation summary is a statement from the district attorney saying it is the longstanding practice of the 31st Judicial District Attorney to not present suspicious death to a grand jury if evidence shows the death was a result of suicide. A timeline from the attorney general shows Thomas searched on his phone at 9:11 p.m. the night he went missing for the suicide hotline. What is so eerie about this is he looked for the suicide hotline at 9:11 p.m., like 911, searching for the suicide hotline on his phone. But what I don't understand is what this article doesn't say is, like, you would have phone records. Did he not call the hotline? I'm assuming no, where that would have been stated. He just looked for the number of it.
That's what it sounds like to me. based on what you read.
So then another theory is the private investigator's town hall revealed little new information but showed how one side of Thomas's face was crushed. He also exposed what he said was a local gambling ring that bets on high school football games and may be connected to Thomas's death. Oh my gosh,
extreme.
Right? Someone asked the private investigator if there's a gambling ring. He said, I don't care. Is it true they violated the rules from head to toe that could take away a state championship? Yeah, probably, but I don't care. I want to know what happened to the Thomas. All of us do. Yet the question of what happened, it was never specifically answered. Previously, the private investigator went on record with a podcast saying he believed a person or people that Thomas knew saw him near the high school football field in Canadian, were fooling around, accidentally shot him in the back of the head, put his body out near Lake Marvin, parked his car near the sewage treatment center, and walked home. This was kids playing around, and they shouldn't have, and they know it shouldn't happen. So it's odd that the private investigator would think that. But because he looked at the suicide hotline, they can't put that in front of a jury.
Right. That doesn't make sense.
Like, that seems a very... the private investigator has a very specific story lined up for that not to be able to go to trial and, like, not have...
I guess they need evidence.
Proof of that.
It sounds like they need evidence to move forward. So it's just a bunch of speculation and they don't know what happened, basically, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, he said, like, it's a theory. We gave you a two-hour-long presentation on the facts of this case. The theory is something happened out on the football field, but we do not know. That was a theory. Now we know his head was smushed in. How bad was it? Was that bad enough to kill him? Or maybe his head was smashed in first and they shot him in the back of the head because he was still alive? I don't know. Doesn't an autopsy... I mean, granted, this was 2016, so are things... Were they not
right.
as advanced back then? Well, no, his body was found, I mean, 2 years after, but... Can't you tell, like, time of death and know which one would have occurred first? Not if you're
finding the body 2 years later. There's nothing but bones at that point. True, I guess. Time of death is found with a full intact body within, like, the first couple days.
I mean, there was three suspects he was looking at, but he was blocked from getting more forensics. That's crazy. That's frustrating, honestly. That
is frustrating. All right, well, I'm going to end us on a positive note. This is an article entitled Flexible Burglar Seen on Camera Doing Yoga Before Allegedly Robbing a Bakery. And I'm going to show you the video of this person and what they are doing as soon as the ad is done. But oh my gosh. A woman was captured on a surveillance video doing yoga before allegedly robbing a bakery in Australia. They're calling her the Flexible Burglar.
I just, in my head, is like, whatever Incredible has that, like, stretchy power.
And you are exactly yes. right in thinking that, because what you are about to see is just that.
Oh my god.
Oh. If you guys look it up god. On Google, if you have not, this person is, I mean, granted, the video I'm watching is sped up, but she is literally doing.
It literally looks like she's following a tutorial.
Full yoga in, like, an all black outfit. It is so funny. So
imagine them playing this in court when they're trying to put you away for the burglar, for the like the robbery, and this is what gets
imagine
played.
Seeing this woman.
That is a court, like imagine being on the jury of this court. Like that would be such an experience.
I can't. It says we were quite surprised when we saw the security footage from a recent break-in at our bakery headquarters.
I want the audio footage of whoever discovered this.
A few things were stolen, including some croissants, which were clearly too tempting for this flexible burglar. The screenshots.
Oh.
It says she stole hot cross buns, croissants, as well as an iPad and shoes.
Wait, where? Okay, what sort of
a bakery?
Rob?
Just a bakery in Australia.
Where? Oh, so like the iPad was like
I'm
on
assuming,
the cash register
yeah,
or something.
I'm assuming
probably.
Like when they turn it around and ask for a tip. But she grabbed some hot cross buns and some croissants as well. Is it about, someone said, aww. Is it about working off the calories of the croissants before she steals them? Someone said, I wonder if she purposely positioned herself in front of the security camera knowing that she would be filmed for the extra drama.
Well, that's what I'm like. You're out in the open. You don't think anyone's going to see you acting weird and then like think something's up. Why wouldn't you do the yoga at home before you came out?
She's getting limber and she's distracting anyone that's watching that says, oh, there's no way this yoga woman is going to rob this bakery now.
In all black.
Oh my gosh. That's the comedic relief I needed to end this episode.
I was going to say, I'm glad we ended on that note, though. That was a good choice because
the other ones were sad.
The other ones were all sad.
But I hope you guys enjoyed this little chatty catch-up episode. We will come back to you next week with updates on The Valley and Vanderpump Rules. If there's anything else you guys want us to talk about, just send us a DM. I try my best to check the ones on the podcast Instagram. I check my DMs, so you just mm-hmm. let me know.
Let us know what you want to hear.
All right, amazing.
And
we'll catch you next week on Outgoing.
Without Going Out.
Bye.